Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org as well as republicreview.org. I am hoping I have a full bill of health or a complete and a clean bill of health by the time Tuesday next week. By that time, I should be done with my meds. And so if you happen to get a sore throat this time of year, you may want to make sure you go to the doctor because it could be strep. Because apparently there's a lot of that going around now. And I hadn't heard of an epidemic of strep in a long time. So, you know, it may be you thinking, oh, it's just a change of the air, the seasons, or what have you. Get yourself checked out. Strep can turn into rheumatic fever as well as scarlet fever. So you don't want to mess around with that stuff, especially if you still have your tonsils. You don't want to mess around with that. I don't have my tonsils, and that's what really baffles the doctors. But anywho, you are listening to the only show that is going to provide you with the constitutional solution that is necessary to follow so that we can get the federal government into compliance. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And as you know, if you've got time, as a matter of fact, I could use more help in some of these states. If you're in some of the red states like Tennessee or Oklahoma, the Dakotas, Kansas, if you are in a red state, send me an email because there's a lot of work after the election to kind of go through and figure out which incumbents won, which are the new folks that came in. Because between now and the time those people hit the ground running in a session, now is the time to reach out to especially these freshmen, these new junior class that are going in, to give them at least because they're far more open and they're far more accessible, by the way, because you still have their contact information before that all kind of gets buried because they become a part of the system. They start shielding themselves from the public as they become more and more entrenched as a politician. And that's why at the very beginning, when they create their career in politics, and it's usually at the state level, that's, you know, where you get their home address, that type of stuff. But after that, they go to post office boxes and they start hiding. And so it's always the first initial filing where you can usually get all the data and information. A lot of times they don't change until they finally get to a level of success like U.S. Senator, those types of things. Then they have mansions because by that time, the lobbyists are just pouring millions into their pockets to make sure that they're doing everything that the lobbyists want them to do, right? I mean, that's how it works. So anyway, if you are interested in helping, please send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And more importantly, if you're looking to get involved and be a part of the solution, make sure you, at a minimum, go to the Constitution Club .ning.com. Just want to make sure if you're driving, you can remember that or write that down. ConstitutionClub.ning.com. Join that organization because they will be there. I'm sure Keith is working on probably some templates of things that you can send to the state legislators in Utah and the states that have not ratified the 17th Amendment and be a part of history in actually pushing the issue of rescinding that 17th Amendment, not the Constitution, but rescinding the 17th Amendment to the Constitution. So with that, and I think Keith is going to be doing some other things as well, but he is actually taking an online grassroots approach to where we can start burying people. And as a matter of fact, if you didn't notice, the left definitely has a very good organization, and they have, I would say, probably phone banks. They have all sorts of things that are sitting probably in like Detroit and places like that, where there are people that, don't have, a job or what have you, but they're making welfare, and so they have these little cash opportunities to go in and do banks or, phone banks and emailing and that type of stuff, to where in some of these hard-to-reach spots, these red states where they don't have a lot of penetration, the Antifa doesn't. Does the Antifa exist in Casper, Wyoming? No. But if there's one person that wants to connect to them and then start reaching back, they have these other resources. That's my point. And if you haven't heard, I think this is very important that you understand this, that the reason why Ohio voted for Trump was because of California. Now, Douglas Gibbs has told me this a few times, and the reality is, and it's true, I talk about this in my second book. Because we have the advent of unlimited calling and we have the ability to actually do like robocalls, we have software now that can actually use stealth numbers and so forth. California was able to, the conservatives in Riverside County and the conservatives in, some of the southern part of the state were literally dialing and making sure, just bothering the crud out of those folks in Ohio. So if you're upset because you got all those robocalls during the presidential election in Ohio, but you still voted Republican, blame California. So anyway, if you want to get involved, now's the time. If you don't recognize, and I'm glad that this election went the way it did, and we'll get into this a little more, but I'm hoping that you're starting to wake up and realize that we're still teetering. Trump cannot do it all. And the little bit he's going to be able to do is not enough to protect us when the next despot, God forbid it's Hillary or God forbid it's any type of a secular progressive that gets into that presidential office, as well as taking hold of these, of Congress and so forth. But the indications, and I've been telling you that from 2 to 5 years, you are going to see a ratcheting increase in these kids that are coming out of school that have been weaponized and programmed to vote away their liberty. And in Washington State, for the first time, they've actually successfully passed a bill that is unconstitutional and violates the 14th Amendment, where they are beginning to restrict a person's right to bear arms. And here's a state where you have open carry, where you can, put a six shooter on your hip and walk around. They are literally succeeding by basically converting the youth and ensuring that the youth, when they go out there, they become a part of the electorate, and they're going to be, they're, like I said, the best metaphor is that the fact is they're foaming at the mouth to throw away their liberties. That's what these kids are thinking. And so we're seeing that already being manifest, especially in these higher populated states. It may take a little while to get to these other states, but their plan is working, and it is one of attrition. So anyway, if you haven't checked out the GoFundMe, it is Reclaiming the Republic on the GoFundMe.com page. And I actually have those links on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org website. And, of course, you can get my podcast at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well. So let me kind of jump into my lead-in to the news and the things that we need to talk about today. And as I always do, there is no sign, because I've looked, there's no sign on any of the news media sites that the federal government is going to disband or get rid of or decommission any of its tyrannical forms of government. So that means that you and I are going to have to do this. We have to work at getting our liberties back. It is not just going to come through wishing and hoping, osmosis, none of that. It is going to require work. As they say, you can take the Constitution and you can point to the Constitution all day like I do. The Constitution does not stop bad government. It does not stop criminals. It does not stop tyrants. The people using the Constitution is the way that we have to do this. It doesn't do it on its own. We have to apply it. We have to demand that they comply to it. So say that word with me, compliance. That's what every public servant needs to understand, that we demand. We demand that they comply to the Constitution, both of the state and of the United States. So, as I said, and I'm going to do this all week and all next week until Friday, on Friday, November 16th, you're going to want to tune in because I'm going to give you the constitutional look at our republic's first Thanksgiving. If you believe that Thanksgiving is about feasting and pilgrims and Indians and all of that, then you're going to want to tune in because you're going to learn what this nation did for its first inaugural Thanksgiving as a constitutional republic with an enumerated constitution. I told you on Monday, and I mentioned it yesterday, and even on Tuesday. Actually, it was Tuesday when I told you. But nevertheless, Bob, I called Bob. I talked to him today. He's doing great. He's had his heart surgery. He's a little weak. And I think that they're planning on probably having him out of there probably by Friday or Saturday, out of the hospital, going home on a regiment and so forth. And you'd be surprised. I mean, having heart surgery today is almost tantamount to delivering a child back in the 60s. I mean, it was very common that in child labor and birth, there would be two to three days that the women would recover and so forth because they know the guys aren't any help at home, right? So give them a little vacation. Well, insurance started stepping into the 60s, and that's why they started tailoring that down and cutting that back. Excuse me. And so we've gotten to that point today where having heart surgery is, you know, you're literally back out and home within 4 or 5 days. And so that's how good we get at doing things when we've applied technology, innovation, and those types of things that only the free market can provide. So Bob's doing good, but continue your prayers and pray for a fast and strong recovery. And we will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And with the dialogue, I want to go into, because I said I was going to go into it yesterday, and I wanted to talk about Sessions' resignation. And I look at it this way. I believe Sessions was expected to go in to drain the swamp. He was supposed to go after the corruption within the government itself, within the bureaucracies and all of that. And he actually, to me, he turned out to be the little Dutch boy. So in other words, here's a guy that's supposed to go in and drain the swamp.
And instead, he went to the levee of the swamp and started putting his fingers in the dike to keep the, you know, to keep the water in. So he's been more culpable in supporting the swamp and keeping it in intact. And I don't know why Trump, other than the fact that Sessions was a loyal campaign supporter, that he made Sessions his Secretary of Justice. But I just don't believe that he I didn't think at the very beginning that he would be a good Department of Justice chief or the secretary of the Department of Justice. So that being said, I'm glad that he's finally gone. Now that he doesn't have a Senate position anymore, he's pretty much been, you know, relegated back to nothing. And hopefully he can find something, you know, like become a lobbyist, and hopefully we can make those jobs obsolete as well. And we can make those jobs obsolete if we use Republic Review. Once we force them into compliance, it doesn't matter how, you know, how attractive the lobbyists are making it or giving away the store to these congressmen. The congressmen's hands are tied. Congresspeople, congresspersons, their hands are tied. They can't just assume any role, responsibility, and power. They have to go through the Article 5 process if they're going to create a Department of Education, Department of Housing and Urban Development, whatever it is. If they're going to do something that is not enumerated within that Constitution, then they have to go to the states and get 3/4 of them to, you know, to acquiesce, agree on their ability to do that. And I'm telling you, they're not ever going to be able to do that. And the lobbyists will end up going home and they're going to be going, huh, I don't know what we're going to do now. Or what they will have to be, and they'll be forced to, because as these roles with Republic Review go back to the states, then they're going to recognize, well, we're going to have to set up shop in all 50 states. There you go. Well, let's not make it any easier for them, right? So let's apply Republic Review today. Well, it's not that simply said, but as you know, if you've watched the video, if you understand what it takes is we got to get one state to demand this, and then we can start educating. And that's why my focus is on Wyoming. That's why we want to get in there and get them to stand up, to be the David to stand up against the Leviathan. Anyway, with Sessions' resignation, as you know, it created a problem because Trump wanted to make sure that his new temporary fill, his pro tem, is basically going to, you know, be able to do the job. But as Judge Napolitano pointed out today, that there's three legal problems with this, and this all stemmed from the problems with, I believe it was Watergate, where Congress passed these laws that said, okay, so if you're going to have to, you know, temporarily fill the Secretary of the Department of Justice, then that person, it says, if they are a deputy attorney general and the president signs an executive order to make them acting attorney general, then there you go. That would be one legal process. But he's this, I guess Whitaker's not a attorney general. He's not even acting. I guess he's a bureaucrat. The second way is if they already had at the Justice Department, if they're already there and they're in a job that both required and received Senate confirmation, then they've already been vetted and he's good to go. And the third is if the Senate is in recess, then he can be a recess appointment. So those are the only legal processes of being able to set up a new Attorney General or Secretary of the Department of Justice. And so it seems like Trump has some things to do, but in all reality, he needs to act very quickly. And with Cruz winning the Senate race and the general election, maybe Cruz would be a good swamp drainer. Maybe he'd be able to go in and actually go after the swamp. And while he gets Cruz in there and actually starts doing really good work, then maybe he can later on, when a SCOTUS appointment opens up, I don't know, I don't think Cruz would be the greatest SCOTUS, but I think that he should at least look at possibly putting Cruz in there, because I do believe that Cruz will start going after. He doesn't care for a lot of the creatures that he's had to deal with, and he's not a stranger to not making friends and not making, not influencing others. So that might be a good position for him. Now, whether he accepts it or not, because that's a little bit different in pay and that is not a long-term opportunity. But either way, Trump's going to need to do something. He's going to need to do something fast because when the Democrats take over, they're not going to stand for him stepping on any of these laws and or the Constitution because they, as if you understand anything, the election results will give you these three things: impeachment, investigations, and scorching the earth, because that is how the that ideology operates. That's precisely what they do. They do not care about being reasonable. And as a matter of fact, I'll ask you this. When's the last time that they've compromised in backing out any of their progressive plans, policies, programs, what have you? Is prayer a consideration to get back into school now that we've proven that an immoral society is a bad acting society? Are we ready to start looking at putting prayer back in school? No, it's not even on the table, and they won't let you put it on the table because they're not a party of compromise. The only party of compromise is the party of liberty. Those who have some kind of stake in liberty, which are the Republicans, are usually the ones that meet others halfway. The subjugationists or the Democrats, the communists, those folks do not compromise, and they have a plan. And that's why we've continually slid to the left, because it's the right that has to give up its position. You give me an example of a good time, or I should say a real tangible time, when the left has given up some real estate so that, you know, we could actually improve morality, so that we could actually improve our productivity and so forth. It's always been creating more indolence and more entitlement and so forth and so on. And anyway, so there's no doubt in my mind they're going to be going into the scorched earth approach when they hit their session coming up next year. So the other thing is that the mainstream media is going to become one of the biggest problems Trump has, because now they've got a friend in Congress. Now they have a listening ear. And unless Trump starts going after these media outlets, then, and his hands are kind of tied with that First Amendment, but he needs to start looking, because now Congress won't be able to do this. And oh, by the way, that guarantee clause that I talked about, you know, in the past year and over the past couple of years in my local radio show, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to get Congress to actually define what a Republican form of government is. And so we won't be able to start reclaiming the states into Republican forms of government. And that's going to be kind of critical. And that's a part of what I believe is a three-prong approach: rescinding the 17th Amendment, getting the states into a Republican forms of government, and causing this audit to occur. So anyway, back to the mainstream media. I honestly think that the states need to start literally stepping up. And when I say the states, you've got red states, Wyoming, South Dakota, and so forth. I challenge anybody, prove to me that the freedom of the press is an individual privilege and or an individual immunity. If you look at the 14th Amendment, the 14th Amendment only applies the Bill of Rights to individual privileges and immunities. It does not apply to the establishment of a church. It does not apply to establishment of a religion, I mean, or same, I guess. Or it does not apply to the press. I would love to see states actually start defining what they consider the press being and creating qualifications to say, if you're not going to have true objective journalism, then we're not going to consider you the press, and we're not going to give you, you know, press access to, you know, be able to interview us and so forth. And as a matter of fact, I talked about this in my first book, and this may seem kind of outrageous to you, but states should literally start looking at a civic duty of the electorate to actually come in like jury duty, but instead of standing on jury duty or, you know, going in for 2 weeks to do your jury duty, you go in for 2 weeks and you read and you watch the different reports that come out of the local press, and you determine, you give them a grade of whether they're being objective or not. You look at all the articles that they produce, and if they're all leaning towards gun control, then that's not objective journalism. And so you basically say, nope, everything they have is a progressive slant. It's not objective. They're not getting to the facts. And you can tell they're just grinding an X, so that then the states can then start labeling these news outlets, these organizations, as more of an entertaining outlet than a news outlet. And they declassify them so that they don't get press credentials and they don't have those privileges that we give to the press, because they're objectively reporting the news. And so I'd love to see the states actually put their foot down on that, because the states are not required by the Constitution to apply the freedom of the press. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
One other thing, and I know I read Deuteronomy yesterday, 19. And the only reason I read that is because that really points to how they, in the old days, dealt with false liars and false accusers. And so I believe it's important that we start having standards to our public servants. I believe that the Senate needs to do a thorough investigation on Feinstein, and I believe that they need to go after others who were backing, like Kamala Harris. They need to go after these folks that were supporters and champions for false accusations going forward. It's, you know, if somebody goes and does some type of crime, whether it's just, you know, armed robbery or, you know, beating somebody up or what have you, it doesn't really matter the magnitude of the crime. If you assist in providing the access, if you assist in providing some kind of support, that to me and that by law is called aiding and abetting. There's no doubt in my mind that we have a few senators that were aiding and abetting illegal behavior. They need to be fully investigated, and they need to be, at a minimum, censored. If not, at least I'd like to see them actually get kicked out. I'd like to force California to have another general election or a special election next year to replacing both of their senators. Because both of them enabled and created access for these false accusers to come forward. And one of them was definitely a known false accuser as it started moving forward. I believe the investigation will bear out that these people have blood on their hands because they were fully aware that this was a well-orchestrated attempt in trying to stop Kavanaugh from being seated. And there's nothing better than actually having impeached two U.S. senators from one particular state, the most corrupt state. And, you know, I talked to Mark Erbach about Georgia and so forth. He said, Georgia's the most corrupt state. I don't think so. I'm sorry, everybody. And there's, you know, what is it, about 50, 60 million people that live in California? They are living under the tyranny of corruption that is just so steep. Get out now. Anyway, I believe that with the way the Senate is going to change, they're going to now have enough, I believe, enough good, strong conservatives that they need to strike right after they take the office or they start their next session. They need to strike while the iron is hot and go on that Kavanaugh issue, because you already know that the Congress wants to try to pursue an impeachment of Kavanaugh as well, even though I don't think that falls under their charter or their level of responsibility. So anyway, oh, by the way, if you want to sound off, just call in 215-867-8255. One more thing I wanted to point out, there's probably a few more things, but another thing I think is important that we point out is that it's about time Republicans start understanding what needs to be done in defending and attacking in these elections. And so they have to start taking note and I think following suit of the Democrats. And the first thing is that they need to start, you know, actually creating some type of funding and source for lawsuits to literally go after and try to pursue the changing and the insisting of fraud. Why was it that the Republican Party sat on their hands and watched the gubernatorial race in Washington State literally go from Dino Rossi, who won the election the first time, he won the election the second time, I think he even won the election the third time, and it wasn't until the fourth recount where they finally got the objective that they wanted and why the Republicans sat there and said, you got to be kidding me. They should have been descending upon Washington State. They need to descend in a lot of these areas to protect their real estate, to protect these seats that they've won. There's plenty of evidence, as far as I'm concerned, especially Washington, probably New Jersey, I think Colorado is another one. There is plenty of evidence that any state that is using mail-in ballots, it is steeped with the potential of voter fraud and it is steeped with election fraud. Trump needs to truly get into, you know, investigating and auditing these states and their election processes, because there's just no doubt in my mind that a lot of these states realize, and Stalin was the one that said it, I really don't care, you know, how the people vote. I just care how the votes are counted. And so when you go into these mail-in ballots, when you go into these, you get away from the precincts, get away from people who really know you, centralize this, and you control those few people that are counting the ballots, then you have a couple of extra weeks after the election, because we're still waiting in Washington, and I'm sure these other states are still waiting the same because of the same problem. These aren't efficient processes. There's algorithms baked into them, and they are designed to create outcomes. It is that simple. They're designed to create a favorable outcome for a very specific purpose, and that is to seat progressives. And that's why it is the progressive states. And I can't believe Wyoming is even considering and entertaining this. It's almost like, let's do the most stupid thing we can possibly do. And that would be introducing some of these progressive policies like mail-in ballot. One of the things, if you haven't heard in the news lately, in Europe, there's 20,000 migrants that are gathering to storm the Bosnia-Croatia border to enter into the European nations. And the Austrian intelligence warns that many of these 20,000 are armed with weapons and so forth. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like these caravans to the south of us? Why is it that there's all this duplication and there's a lot of money in concentration? That money isn't, and this organization isn't just happening. This is not a spontaneous thing. There are leaders that are working in trying to literally collapse what we call Western society. Because steeped within Western society, the roots within Western society are the principles of liberty. Why is it that we don't see a whole bunch of hordes trying to infiltrate, you know, Asia? And that's because there are people that don't want to have anything to do with Asia or Africa, and that's why they're leaving there. But the most important part is that the fact is that these are weaponized Islamists and so forth, and they're literally trying to get rid of these folks, and they're saying, well, let's send them this way. And that's the same thing that's happening on the southern border. And I already reported a couple of weeks ago that Europe is already starting to use artificial intelligence in controlling their masses. And it's just a matter of time, folks. What you see in California usually propagates itself throughout the rest of the Union. What you see in Europe is going to is the same thing. What we do and what everybody else is, these are just petri dishes. And as they get away with being able to develop the germ and deploy a germ, they're going to start deploying that germ everywhere else. And they'll develop those things. And so it's like the laboratory of innovation of collapsing countries, collapsing governments, and collapsing societies. And who's paying for all of this? Well, you go to the Open Border Society and look at all the billionaires that are all contributing to Soros. Soros is not the only one funding this. He just created the portal for everybody to help pitch in. You know, what's $1 billion amongst friends, right? And $1 billion goes a long way. And so when you've got all of these billionaires actually all in the tank for trying to move us, Facebook, Zuckerberg, and all of these guys, Bezos, they're all in the tank of trying to move us towards global control. Isn't that interesting? Is it just I guess it's just a coincidence. But anyway, in regards to this this massing in the Croatian border, there have been clashes with the police already, and almost all of the migrants, again, just like down south, are men from Pakistan. So I told you they're Islamists. If you look and go into this, but many of them are from Iran, Algeria, and Moroccans, but that means that they're Islamists. I mean, they're identifying the nationality of these folks, but these are Islamists. And they're weaponized people to go in and create civil unrest and problems to add insult to injury regarding this whole thing that's going on in Europe on this very far eastern front of Europe. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has provided prepaid debit cards that are sustaining most of these migrants until they get in and get into the entitlement state of Western society. Because they get into Germany, they get into France or what have you, then they're automatically being handed, just like here, they get put onto the rolls of welfare so that they don't have to assimilate, so that they don't have to get a job, and they can become what? So they can become productive members of society? No, so that they can become nuisances and so that they can start elevating crime and creating a rule of fear and so forth. Folks, this is not a rosy picture, but this is the reality. And we have kids in our school system that want to literally collapse our system and throw away our liberties and throw away those things that protect us and protect our sovereignty. And we've got kids that want to vote us away, so that we become this globalized world, and they really believe, because the progressive teach them this, that things will be better when we do this. We'll be right back after this. I'm just shaking my head. God bless us. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, I'm not sure how you felt about this concept of having like a press duty at the state level, to where you would have to surrender 2 weeks of your time and go in and read the articles and determine whether the press themselves were doing the due diligence of providing good objective journalism. And in doing so, you're rating them so that the state actually gets, because if we're a self-governing system, then it's we the people that literally have to go in and say, hey, come on, this is really one-sided. And there should be no one-sided view, period, coming from any type of press agency. And the left seems to be very, very, very guilty of being one-sided in how they present their facts. So with that, I mean, I want to lean on this, because this actually segues into the justices. Because when you read the Federalist Papers, and this really just jumped out at me the other day, that Hamilton kind of, by using a sleight of hand, I started to recognize that he deliberately used a sleight of hand in identifying something that he thought was a good idea, but he gave you a different reason for why you would want to do this one thing, like the tenure of judges to be lifetime. Well, I don't believe that he thought that the reason that he uses the justification for lifetime appointments, I don't think is the real reason why he wanted to do that, because he knew that that became a person entrenched that you couldn't get rid of, or it would be very difficult to do that, so that you could literally, and they did this, they literally did this with Adams, and as a matter of fact, the guy that helped Adams exploit these justice appointments was Hamilton. Hamilton was the one that fed Adams the names for those midnight appointments. And so, again, if you look at what Hamilton said in the Federalist Papers, or what he said in the ratification debates, he almost played out exactly the opposite of what he was talking about. And so What he said in Federalist Paper number 78, he said, if then the courts of justice are to be considered the bulwarks of a limited constitution against legislative encroachments, this consideration, because the reality is it has been the Justice Department, it has been the justices that have been the encroachers on legislation, because they've been legislating from the bench from the very, very beginning. They're the ones that started pushing everything. They were the tip of the spear in moving government forward. And Congress literally sat on their hands because they wanted to benefit from this. So one of the things that we need to do, and let me finish what the highlighted part I have of this. This consideration will afford a strong argument for a permanent tenure of judicial offices, since nothing will contribute so much as this, that the independent spirit in the judges, which must be essential to the faithful performance of such an arduous duty. What he was saying was, well, we want to put these guys in so that then you can't get rid of them, and they're going to be these bulwarks, when the fact of the matter is he trained Marshall in not being the bulwark, but being the tip of the spear in pushing government in a direction. And so I'm realizing that every time he threw out these arguments, you could actually see that it was just literally smoke and mirrors that he was putting in this. So getting back to what is the point of my rant here, the point is that we need to get, once we start cleaning up, I think one of the things that needs to be done is that Congress needs to do a Judiciary Act where there is a judicial review, not the unconstitutional judicial review, but a judicial review that over a certain period of time, the decisions that each judge makes and why and how they support that, because we want our public servants to comply to the highest law of the lands, and that is our constitutions. Well, if we want them to comply, we need the judges to comply. So we need to make sure that when the judges are making their opinions and their decisions, are they applying what is in the Constitution, or are they starting to interpret? Or are they starting to use, you know, foreign court laws and foreign laws in establishing precedents for bringing in things that are unconstitutional? Sandra Day O'Connor and others were very guilty of this. And so I truly believe that as we start looking at a process, maybe it won't be a jury type of thing, but maybe it would be. But it has to be transparent, and we have to start drilling in, and we have to start judging judges on how they are judging cases. Are they judging them sound based on what is truly in the Constitution, and are those supported definitions of the Constitution from the ratification debates? And if they're not, then we need to basically hold their feet to the fire and say, well, because you are not following the fidelity of the law and how it was defined, because even Madison said, we have to go by how it was interpreted and how it was defined at the time of ratification, not how we kind of wander down these lanes of obscurity and, you know, create all sorts of unconscionable types of concepts like abortion and so forth. Are you kidding me? The framers had no intent in allowing the court system to be able to do those types of things, and they clearly stated this and they defined this in the ratification debates. So my point is that we need to get to a point, once we've actually reclaimed the republic, to reel in the court system, we have to start judging and grading. And you know what? If, you know, you have, and what is that threshold? What's a passing grade? Well, I think if you're, you know, if you're not a B judge, in other words, 80% or better, that you're actually hitting, you know, and pointing to an academic. I have academic standards, and I believe judges should have academic standards. I believe that they should be able to cite and point to those definitions from the ratification debates. So clearly, Madison stated this, and so therefore, we don't have jurisdiction over this, or therefore, you know, the Commerce Clause is limited to this fashion, or the Necessary and Proper Clause has held us to this. jurisdiction, whatever it is, they have to start pointing to those hardcore definitions that were provided so that the Constitution was accepted or ratified. Those are the only definitions that count. It's not these newfangled definitions that have come from China and the newfangled definitions of our Constitution from Europe and Asia and so forth. And so I hope this makes sense, because I'm okay with having judges serve a lifetime. I'm okay with legislators serving a lifetime. I don't care about term limits. What I care about is, are you complying and are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you making judgments that are aligned with the true meaning and definitions of the Constitution? And if you're not, then we got to fill a vacant seat here. And if it's an inferior court or if it's a superior court, if it is the Supreme Court, they all need to be judged. Judges, you know, I don't know why we have all of a sudden allowed them to elevate themselves so high above us. And maybe that's because they sit up there. We used to do that with pharmacists too, right? Pharmacists would be, you know, a foot or two above us, like they were superior to us. Come on. Just because the elevation in the room might be higher, that doesn't mean that they're any better than us. They should have standards, and the standards are the Constitution. And so I hope that that makes sense. I wanted to throw that out there because I would love to see that as something that's growing legs. And I would love to hear everybody else that is listening to this to start echoing this, that we need to start judging our judges based on how they are ruling in their cases. Are they pointing to the Constitution and the ratification debates, or are they pointing to precedents and other opinions? When so-and-so said this, because when they do that, that's how they obscure the Constitution. That's how they obfuscate the facts. And that's how we slide in the direction that we've been sliding. And so one of the other things I wanted to get into real quick, because there's about a minute and a half left. If you're not using DuckDuckGo, and again, I am not advertising for DuckDuckGo. They're not paying me. They should be. But if you're not using DuckDuckGo as your search engine, you really need to. And I just challenge you, over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're going to be amazed in the differences in the results of what you are looking for on the web. If you want to be led down the dark web, then use Google, because Google is going to get you to be looking. If you're buying something, you're looking at some products or what have you, they're going to send you to Amazon. They're going to make sure that your money is going towards the globalization of America and the globalization of people throughout the world. And so all these globalists are working together, and Google is culpable in doing that. I will tell you that long gone are the days when Google will or would bring you good, clean results. I remember when Google started literally, it was around the turn of the century, late 90s, early 2000s, when Google was the bomb. I mean, they would bring all sorts of great results, but they are filtering. They are colluding, and they are working because it's about money now. They've lost their morals, and they are a very corrupt organization. Anyway, with that, I am G.R. Mobley, and I'm hoping that you get the word out that people need to start tuning in, because as we move into the sessions coming up, it's going to get interesting, and we're going to start having more state legislators calling in. So God bless. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you join us in reclaiming the Republic. Thank you so much. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.